I haven't done this in a while, but I got a couple of prayer letters. I've been just sticking them back here at the back, but these are a couple that came in at the same time from Australia, and I thought it'd be a good time to read them to you. So I'm going to do that. Our two missionaries in Australia there, Gary Lester, read them first, and Phil Highland. The first one from Gary Lester, he says, "Dear friends and co-laborers, as this year draws to a close, I want to focus on the goodness of God. You have often heard pastors say that God is good all the time, and the Bible proclaims that with no exception. We have recently passed Thanksgiving. With all the craziness in our lives this year, may we remember that God truly is good, and we can be thankful for so much. This year in the church, we have seen more faithfulness of the people. Although we have had some people come and go in the past, we are happy to see some of the people becoming more faithful. Please pray that we will see more people grow in this way. We've also seen a mother and a daughter come to Christ, and Sherry and Liara have been able to work to disciple them. We're also thankful that we have seen our first deaf person attend the church as well this year. We look forward to different ways to reach into the deaf community in the years to come. Our annual Thanksgiving dinner saw more people attend this year. We had more families than any year in the past, and I was able to give a clear gospel presentation to those who attended. We also had the youngest person to ever attend any church event that we have ever had. We picked up two girls for church, and their whole family attended the Thanksgiving service. Their mom was due to have a baby the day before Thanksgiving service. She instead had the baby at around 5:30 that morning. Because everyone's so excited to come, they made the half-hour journey to be with us. I think having a five-year-old baby at the Thanksgiving service is a definite first. And I dare say that I don't know of any church that they can say they had a five-hour-old baby show up at any service. It's a dedicated mother. Dedicated church, dedicated to Thanksgiving food, I'm not sure, but that was me. In closing, that's what he says. In closing, I want to thank everyone for all the prayers for Sherry and her health. She has been doing pretty well, and she has had her next appointment on December 16th. Also, thank you for all who prayed and those who gave to help with the cost of our Thanksgiving dinner. Thank you for your prayers and support. It's a little late, but have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. To the praise of His glory, Gary Lester. It's good to see them doing pretty well. Some of his letters before is praying for him, but glad to see the church is doing well. Some faithfulness there. This is from Phil Highland, our other missionary, more recent missionary there in Australia. He says, "Dear pastor and church and praying friends, there's no doubt that 2020 proved to be a year of uncertainties and challenges. The truth in the above verse surely rang true as we made many plans for 2020, which were canceled or postponed. It ought to be a great reminder to us all that we really do not know what a day may bring forth. 2020 was a difficult year for many of us. There were challenges in ministry, the death of loved ones, job losses, political uncertainties, and the list goes on. However, I certainly am glad to be a Christian and a citizen of heaven. One of the favorite hymns is, 'It is wonderful to be a Christian.' It certainly is wonderful to be a Christian with a dismay around us in the world. Personally, I'm sick of hearing and talking about COVID. I am too. But nonetheless, it is reality here in Australia as it is there in the USA. Australia has a population of 26 million people scattered over a landmass basically the same size as the lower 48 states. And he gives all the numbers for their COVID things going on there. You can read that later on if you like. We experienced very tight restrictions and lockdowns in April to June, which impacted the ministry greatly with everything having to be done online. However, since the case numbers have become so low, most restrictions in the community have been lifted since August. Our church services and all other ministries such as the Street Evangelism, Bible Institute, and Nursing Home Ministry have since returned to normal. Sadly, we have had few walk away from the church during this year for varying reasons. Most of them got sideways about something and failed to deal with their attitude and spirit, and it wasn't long before they were out of church. He says, "Be careful, brethren. May the Lord help us all deal quickly and firmly with ourselves when our will is crossed and our pride rears its ugly head. Praise the Lord with that. Praise the Lord that with some walking away, the Lord has been gracious to the church. We have seen many new faces come along. Some have completed a discipleship course, and we have four that are ready to be baptized in the next few weeks." That's a blessing. The Lord is growing the church despite the devil working on the church, working, trying to hurt the church. The Lord is still growing the church. He says, "We have a Thanksgiving meeting planned for February 24th through the 28th. Australian evangelist Fraser Young will be there preaching for us. And they have a mission conference scheduled, some different outreach they have scheduled for this year. We have just returned from a few weeks away as a family, which was a great time of refreshment for me. And just being able to enjoy time with Leanne, Kayla, and Mackenzie without distraction was a great blessing. I want to say thank you for your faithfulness toward us in prayer and financial support, given all the challenges that you have been faced with this year. Your sacrifice and love have not gone unnoticed. Your fellowship in the gospel is of great comfort to us. Thank you." It's the Highland family. I'm thankful that we're still using our missionaries. And as you can see here, Lord, the devil is working hard everywhere. It's not just in the U.S. It's all over the world. And the devil's working hard, but the Lord's also blessing very good as well. I'm thankful to see that, thankful to hear that. And thankful to hear their faithfulness and God still using them. All right, Psalms 119 tonight. Psalms 119. You're going to preach all 176 verses, is that what you said then? And be here a little while. If you'll stand while I read 176 verses. I'm not going to do it to you. I'm going to ask you to stand, but I'll stop at probably 175. Psalms 119, please stand, you find your place there. Verse number one, the very beginning. I'm serious. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, so forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'll let you be seated. Catch your breath here. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, thank you for us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray you help me as a preacher. Lord, I pray you give me words to say and guard my heart and guard my thoughts, Lord. And I pray you use us here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This message tonight is not aimed at anything or anybody in particular. I read across this thought and just haven't been able to get away from it today. I'm talking about verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. I want to look tonight at this thought of wandering, walking away from what God has planned for you or doing what you want to do and not doing what he tells you to do. Many different ways we can do that. We can go out and sin, or we can just not do what we're supposed to be doing. Different ways. We'll get to that later on. There's a songwriter, Robert Robinson, is a Methodist turned Baptist. He didn't have everything right either doctrinally, and eventually wandered away from God himself. But he wrote that song. He wrote that song, "Come Thou Fount." Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And then the song goes on there. Why are we so? And even he later on, I heard testimony of himself. Somebody met him on the road, was singing this hymn, and he met him and talked to him, and he was the one that wrote the song, and he was convicted of it, prone to wander, and he was wandering away from the Lord. It's amazing how that works out, but why are we so prone, even as Christians, why are we so prone to wander? Why are we so prone to walk away from God, and just why are we so prone to do what we want to do instead of doing what we're supposed to be doing? Even if it's just a short time, maybe we involve ourselves for a long time in sin, it can be different ways. Maybe we just simply veer off the path and go our own way. And have any of you sinned this week? I don't want to know what it is. Has anybody sinned this week? You don't have to raise your hand. I know you did. Why did you do that for? Why do we do that? Do you not know that God loves you and he saved you from your sins? Why would you do that? We're prone to wander. We all are. Prone to wander. Lord, I'm prone to sin. Sometimes it's something small. We can come right back, which I hope that's what it is. For others, it gets them for years. Some so long they don't make it back in time before they die. The only answer to that, why we do that, is because we're wrapped up in flesh. That's the only reason for it. This same chapter, Psalm 119, then in verse number 21. It says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. We are prone to follow our flesh instead of following the Holy Spirit. We are. It's easy to sin, but sometimes it's hard to do what's right. We got our flesh is backwards. Why is that? Romans tells us, Paul tells us in Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity in the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We're full of flesh, full of wicked flesh. Our flesh is prone to wander. If we aren't careful, if we don't keep a close eye on it, don't stay close to the Lord, we're going to be gone in no time. It's easy to sin. It's easy to get out of the Lord's will. It's easy. We'll get ourselves in trouble very quickly. You ever travel on the interstate and get up on the wrong exit? Anybody ever do that before? I've done it a bunch of times. At first, you're not that far off track. You're just a little ways off track. If you realize it quick enough, you can jump right by on the interstate and cut somebody off and get back on the road again. But if you're not careful, you'll go too far, and you got to go up on the ramp, and there's no telling when you'll get back on the road. Hopefully, you go straight across. Sometimes you got to spin around and spend an hour trying to get back on the road again. It's the same way with the Lord. If we go off in sin, we all sin. You just admitted you do sin. If you sin, you realize it and get it right and get right back and where you're supposed to be and get right back in the Lord's will again. But if you're not careful, you keep going and keep going and keep going. You get farther and farther and farther away from the interstate. It always starts with a little bit. It always starts with a little sin. You start off gradually before long. You're always soon enough. Now you're off course and you're way away from where you're supposed to be. Wandering away from God's will is easy to do. It's easy to do wrong. I think we can all agree. It's easy to sin. It's an easy thing. It's consequences that are hard. He said, maybe it's not even sin. Maybe you're doing some good things. You're just not in the right place or not in the right order or not in the right time. Just not in God's plans. It's easy to wander away from what the Lord wants you to do. Now that you're depressed, if wandering is so easy, and we can all agree to that, what are we supposed to do to prevent it? How do we prevent doing that? How do we stay right? What can we do to prevent ourselves from wandering off? You've all admitted you sinned this week. What can we do to prevent us from getting farther and further off track? How do we keep from wandering? First off, you need to understand this thing of wandering is not a good thing. It's pretty simple. I think we can all agree on that already. But just to be sure here, it's almost always mentioned in the Bible. It's never mentioned in the Bible as a positive thing. It's always a problem. You probably heard that phrase popular today. Not all who wander are lost. I've seen bumper stickers of that and T-shirts of that. It's not true. I had to look and see where that quote came from. Anyway, apparently it's a movie, but I've heard it a lot. Heard a bunch of different places. If Christians today are wandering, it's because they're not where God wants them to be. God has a plan for you. He's not confused. God is not confused what you're supposed to be doing or where you're supposed to be. If you're wandering, then you're not where you're supposed to be. Numbers 32:13, one of the first mentions of wandering. The Lord's anger was kindled against Israel and made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that have done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Their wandering was a punishment from God. Job 12:24, He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and caused them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. Talking about the Israelites again. Jeremiah 14:10, Thus saith the Lord unto his people, Thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Wandering is not a good thing. In the Bible, it never is. In our normal life today, wandering is never a good thing. You don't just let your kids go wander off wherever they please. At least I hope you don't. If kids are my age, you better not. Watch what they're doing because they're going to kill each other. Mine are anyway. Maybe your kids are older, you should at least know where they're at. Anyway, even the older folks, those that have dementia, wandering is a bad thing for everybody. It's bad for Christians as well. The problem or the concern is that you're going to end up blindly wandering off into sin, blindly going off, wandering through this life with no direction from the Word of God, the Spirit of God. You're going to cause yourself heartache and trouble, and it's going to cause trouble in your life. You say, I don't know about that, preacher. Look at the Bible. Example after example. Bored, wandering Christians get themselves into trouble. Every time. Look at Samson. They haven't finished their study there on him yet, but he went wandering down to Timnath. He found a woman there, and over again went down wandering, went down over and over and over again. He didn't get right until he was dying. He finally got right in his death. Look at David. He wandered back at the palace instead of there at the battlefield. He wandered around, waited around. He saw Bathsheba. He became an adulterer and a murderer because he was wandering, wasting time. Wandering causes damage. So we can agree it's a bad thing. So how do we keep from doing it as Christians? How are we to keep from wandering? What am I talking about? This is very simple tonight. It's not going to be anything complicated. It's a very simple outline, but how do we keep from wandering? Number one, stick with the group. Number two, study the map. Number three, stay close to the leader. I'm going to go through this tonight in Psalms 119. Number one, we see stick to the group. Psalms 119, verse number 31. I've stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. Verse 63, Psalms 119, verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. It's easy to an easy way to get lost, easy way to wander, easy way to is to separate from the group. One of the easiest ways for Christians to begin to wander is to stop fellowshipping with the church. You begin to wander. You begin to stop showing up for things with the church. You stop fellowshipping after services or before services. You just stick to yourself. It's much easier to end up wandering, end up in trouble, end up in sin. It always concerns me if I see certain people, or not anybody, but different people, staying away from the crowd. You have a small group over here, away from the crowd. It's concerning. You have to watch out for those things. This is where wandering comes to place. Where you begin to backslide, different things. starts with a fellowship, losing the fellowship. He said, I don't notice any of that, preacher. I promise you it happens everywhere. It happens here. I have a tendency to do it myself. I'm not a people person. Even now, I talked about that yesterday. I'm not a people person, and you know that. It's against my nature to be up here. I don't like big groups of people. That's what God's called me to do. I have a tendency just to stay to myself and a tendency to be by myself and to wonder. I have to watch out for that. I have to be careful for that. There's a reason cops call for backup. They don't like to be alone. There's a reason the military contains more than one person in a group in the platoon. There's a reason God is to the church, because we need the fellowship. We need those together. If you think you don't need anybody else, you're wrong. We're in this thing together. You need the fellowship of the church today. You need fellowship with Christians. There's strength in numbers, and there's strength in fellowship of God's people. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so if man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The world understands this. The world understands they need friends, they need fellowship. If you're living in sin, you understand that. Most people don't go out to the bar by themselves. They go together. People don't go hang out and do drugs by themselves. They don't go party by themselves. It's not the way that works. Satan has it figured out. There's strength in numbers. It's going to be said of influence of your friends. Those around you will affect you. Who are you fellowshipping with? Spend more time in this world and the followers of it. It's going to influence you the opposite direction. It happens every time. Stick with the church. Stick with the group. Stick with the man. You don't want to get lost. You don't want to wonder. Stick with the group. I'm not that old. I'm not very wise either, but I've seen it myself multiple times in the church. People begin to hang out with other people outside of the church, or they begin to do other things outside of the church more than they are involved in the church. It's not long they're out of church or wandering around, not where they ought to be. Begin to neglect the fellowship of the church. It's where it begins every time. Stick with the church. How do you keep from wandering? Stay with the group. You're trying to teach your dog to walk. What do? You put a leash on him. Hold him beside you. It would be a good idea, if you're trying to learn how to walk with God, to tether yourself, put a leash around yourself, to the church. Get involved in the ministry. Get involved in class or through giving or anything. And get involved in the church. Tie yourself. Put some roots down in the house of God. Make it hard for yourself to leave. Tie yourself to the house of God. Wandering never does anything good for a Christian. If you're saved and you belong here in the house of God, don't go wandering off and get yourself in trouble. Stay with the group. It's very simple. We neglect it so often. Number one, stay with the group. Number two, study the map. Psalm 119, verse number 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved in the God of work, and the need is not to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to know one of the best ways to not get lost? It's very simple. Study the map. Study the directions. God has given us the plan right here in front of us, what we need to do, what we need to follow, where we need to be. It's very simple. Just study the map. It might not have specific answers for every decision we have to make, but it has a map of how to get those answers. It tells you how to find them. Some things are easy to find. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Those things are easy. We still mess up on those too. Some of the things take a lot of prayer and take a lot of time and prayer and reading your word, reading the Bible and prayer again. Lots of prayer. God will show you the answer. He'll give you the directions. It's a whole lot easier, a whole lot harder to wonder if you know where the map says to go. It's harder to get lost if you know where to go. Very simple. I challenge you to get in your Bible. Brother Dale mentioned that in Sunday school Sunday morning. I echo what he said. I challenge you to get in the Word. I challenge you to read your Bible. Read it more. You can't read it too much. If you ever read it through, read it through in a year. I challenge you to do it. It'll bless you. I promise you it'll be good for you. There's never a time when I'm looking for something in God's Word. Not necessarily anything, but I'm just looking for God to help me. There's never a time the Lord does not give me something in His Word. Now, if I go with the wrong attitude, not looking for something, then plenty of times I don't find anything. If I go seeking and go with the right heart and right attitude, go seeking for something from God, every time He'll show me something in His Word. I'm nothing special. If I can do it, you can do it too. And so I don't have time to make time. I'm too busy. Make time for God's Word. Look at Job. Look at his story. Look at the trials and temptations Job had. He didn't wonder. You'll know why. He tells us why in Job 23. Verse number 11. My foot hath held his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. He says, my foot hath held his steps. Why? I have esteemed his words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He says, I esteem his word more than the food I need. Esteeming the words of God more is more important to Job and the food that was necessary for his life. He'd rather read the Word of God, read what God had to say, and feed his face. Ought to be the same with you and I. It's convicting. Is God's Word ought to be that? Is God's Word that important to us? It ought to be. On our trip up here, I would always try to study the map before we left for that morning, try to study the map for that day, try to figure out where we're going to go and where we're going to stop, and try to know those things. And if I did, then many times we didn't get lost if I studied the map. It's important to know where you're going. It helps. You want to follow God's plan? You want to stay on the right path and stay on the course and finish your race well? Study the map. If you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. If you aim for nothing, you hit it every time. Study the map. Get in the Word of God. Spend time in your Bible. Stop right there. Stay in the Word of God. Study the map. Number three, stay close to the leader. I'm going to talk about myself. Job 23:10. We read that just a minute ago. But he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. My foot hath held his steps. That means he was walking in God's footsteps. Job was walking in God's footsteps. You want to know how to stay, keep from wanting to know how to stay away from trouble? Stay close to the leader. He was walking in the very footsteps of God, he says. You want to keep from wondering? Don't lose sight of Jesus. We've been preaching on Jesus and all around Jesus and John there on Sundays. Over and over again, we see Jesus in the life of him and what he did in the gospel and the Great Commission. Over and over and over again, we see those things. This Sunday, we're back in John chapter 3. You know what's in John chapter 3, the gospel and the Great Commission, over and over again. You see those things. You want to keep from wondering, keep your eyes on him. I remember almost 2 years ago now, we went up to Luck Lake. And it was our introduction to it. I think it was 2 years ago. And I remember Ryan, we left, and I think he went by himself or something. You take a left instead of taking a right, and you end up taking one of the longest detours that known to man around the island through Thorn Bay. Lost sight of the leader. What happened? Lost sight of the leader. Kind of funny now. We're laughing now. Probably wasn't very funny at that point. If you don't have your eyes on Jesus, you're going to end up wondering. How else would you know which way to go if you aren't following him? How else would you know where he wants you to be if you're not following him? Keep your eyes on him. Just stay close to the leader. I know this is simple tonight. I think it's a lot deeper than we are making it here. You can come to church your entire life. You can be more faithful than anybody else here. That doesn't make you the least bit close to God. Is faithfulness a trait of a safe person? Sure it is. Does faithfulness make you a safe person? Definitely not. I know plenty of people that are good and reliable employees, but they aren't saved. They're faithful, they're not saved. You can say the right things, you can act like a Christian all you want, and your heart still be as lost as a goose. And this thing is personal. How is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you following him or not? I'm not saying you just know who he is. Do you have a personal relationship with him? Is he your Savior? You want to keep from wondering? Stay close to the leader. Someone asked Dr. Sammy Allen, one of the greatest preachers I've ever been around. He's passed on now. They asked him what his secret to being close to God was. He said, spend more time with him than you do with anybody else. Very simple, but I haven't reached that yet. What about you? Not much of a secret how true it is. How long a way we have to go. You want to keep from wondering? Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the leader. We all have a tendency to wander away from God, wander away from the things of God, wander away from family, wander here or there. We are prone to wander. It's never a good thing. How do we keep from wandering? Stay with the group, stay with the church, stay with fellowship with God's people, study the map, study the Word of God, keep your head in the Word of God, and stay close to the leader. Get as close to God as you can get. He's drawn out of God, he'll draw nigh to thee. The closer you want to get to him, the closer he'll get to you. It's really a lot more simple than we make it out to be. Psalms 119:10. With my whole heart have I sought thee, but let me not wander from thy commandments. The word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to stay away from sin and stay close to God. Stay in the book. Keep your eyes on him. I know it's simple tonight. It's true. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, thank you for us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray of those that are able to be with us here. Lord, I pray you bless them for being here. Lord, I pray you help me stumbling words and simple thought. Lord, I pray you help it here and encourage us to go on for you. In Jesus' name.